The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin and friend of the Hard Shoulder, has popped into us for a chat. We are going to talk, Brendan, people's annoying habits. Can I start by reading you a quote? Annoyance is probably the most widely experienced and least studied of all human emotions. There is no department of annoying studies or annoyingologists. I love that.
I love that too. We all experience annoyance. It shapes a great deal of what we do. And yeah, there's very little research about it. And yet it infects every day. It shapes how we feel. It governs our behavior. I've even heard of cyclists waving their fists at passing cars when it's entirely futile.
That is a story that I told you during the break, because I saw a car today going through a pedestrian. Well, first of all, they were driving too fast along a road. And then they went through a pedestrian crossing when it was a green light for pedestrians. And I cycled after them waving my fist. They didn't even notice me.
And how did you feel before, during and after your behaviour?
I felt slightly better for doing it afterwards. But you are going to tell me that is about social judgment, is it?
Yes, well, it is. It's about how you judge the driver, how you judge yourself and what you want to achieve and what you want to do. What's interesting about these annoying habits is other people have them. We don't have them.
I do have annoying habits.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I went to the cinema with my son the other night. And he kept nudging me the whole way through, going, "You're breathing so loudly. Will you stop breathing?" It ended up, I had to swap place with my wife. She had to get in between the two of us.
Right. Well, alternatively, you could have stopped breathing or left the cinema.
I did make that point to my son. Like, do you want me to stop breathing? Is that what this is actually about here?
Okay. But at the cinema, there's a range of these things, from people eating nachos, eating popcorn. And it's interesting how the foods given out in the cinema are loud foods. They're not quiet foods. It's almost deliberate, isn't it?
You're right.
They cannot be eaten silently, and people munch and drink their way through movies when they would be better off being silent.
Can I, metaphorically speaking, lie on the couch and tell you about other things that really irritate me about people?
Please.
And you can tell me where it's come from. One of my absolute bugbears, people putting on the Lewis, putting their feet on the seat in front of them. I'm just like, sorry, what makes people think that is acceptable to do it? And it happens all the time.
Well, what makes you think it's not? If the seat is empty, Shane, and they may have an injury on their leg, or they may be suffering from some condition requiring them to raise their feet, and if they do so gently and don't damage the seat.
Well, the shoes, because shoes are dirty, and people have to sit where they have their feet. I just think it's bad manners. It's a lack of respect for your fellow. I always make a point, even if the Lewis is empty, I will sit in the seat opposite where they have their feet up, and I'll kind of nudge their feet out of the way.
Obviously, they shouldn't put their feet on seats. But what I'm trying to do is make you, for a moment, see it from the other person's perspective, that they may have arguments.
Damn
that
you
don't
and your
hold
calm and rational thinking.
Calm and rational thinking is what we need to do when people put their feet on the seats, in the Lewis, on the bus, at the cinema, when they play their phones aloud on the bus, particularly, which is incredibly annoying, or all of this is concentrated and amplified on airplanes, where the slightest aberration from acceptable behaviour feels utterly intolerable to everybody
really
else.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. That, you know, the tight space amplifies the social expectation, and any other mammal apart from humans, if they were put into something like an aeroplane, would probably kill each other and start eating each other, but we don't.
We don't. So there is something to be said for that. While I'm on a roll here, if I hold the door open for someone and they go through it without saying thank you, I'm this is really passive aggressive. I make a point of saying you're welcome.
Okay, so no, we're shading into pathology here if you're saying this, but most of us do it, and there is something called doorsmanship, which is correct behaviour around doors when there are multiple people coming and going.
Is that actually a word?
That is actually a thing. No, it is. It's a skill. You seem to have it to a degree, but possibly not a very advanced level, because you're imbuing.
Or not a healthy level.
No, and you see, your problem is perceived fairness. You think people should be kind to each other, they should say thank you to each other, and there should be reciprocity in shared space, in common space. Mm. There should be respect. I don't know what it is about life that has led you to expect this, but somehow you do, and you don't like when that's violated.
Okay. Explain the term social allergens, because I've heard it used in the context of this conversation. Are these annoying acts social allergens?
Yes, that's precisely what they are. You've given several good examples. You seem to be rather full of the things, or full of examples of the things. Being late can be one of them. Chewing loudly, playing things aloud. Jumping queues is a particular problem, and people want to jump queues and feel very chagrined when someone does it in front of them. And I think you see this in the supermarket sometimes when someone goes to the top of the line and says, "I just have one or two things. Do you mind if I go in front of you?"
Yeah.
And what do you say in that circumstance, Shane?
I generally offer to, if I've a full basket and somebody is behind me and they're buying, you know, a bottle of Coke and a chewing gum, I would generally say, "Do you want to go ahead of me?"
So that's a nice thing to do between you and that person. But Shane, there's a bunch of other people behind you in the queue who need to agree to this transaction, because that person is going not just in front of you, but in front of everyone behind you. So the correct response, and this would not be popular, is you would say to the person, "I don't mind you going ahead of me, but you need also to ask the 10 people behind me if they agree with this course of action as well."
Fair enough. Should we be more understanding? Is that what you're saying to me, that I should be more understanding of people's bad habits? There may be a reason for that, for their bad habits, than just being a bit of a knob.
Okay, we're going to rephrase it from bad habits to habits, okay? We'll cut out the judgment at base.
And we cut out the knobs bit as well.
We certainly do.
Yeah,
you see, what's happening here is called the fundamental attribution error. This is a concept in psychology, fundamental attribution error.
I'm actually writing this down.
Yeah, I think you need to. So what this means, Shane, is if you're late, I will think Shane is late because he's careless. It's his personality. He just doesn't care. He doesn't show up on time. But if I'm late, I will attribute it to circumstances and situations over which I had no control. So for other people, we over-attribute to their personality. And for ourselves, we over-attribute bad habits to circumstances. So if I cut in the traffic in front of a car, it's because I'm in a hurry doing important work. But if someone cuts in front of me, I judge them harshly and I might call them a bad name like you just did.
Mm. Okay. So basically, we're very quick to judge others, a lot less quick to judge ourselves.
Yeah. So we can do a couple of things about this. We can just build in a pause, if that's possible, before, maybe not before judging in our heads, but maybe before taking retaliatory action, like running after someone, shouting or waving your fist at a passing car, thereby endangering other people in the traffic.
Yeah. Here's a really interesting text that's just come in, Brendan. I held the door open for a woman one day. She burst past me. I said, "You're welcome," passive aggressively, like indeed I would do. She burst out crying, saying she was so sorry. She was having a really bad day. I felt awful.
Yeah, and I can see why the person felt awful. On the other hand, if you step back, you did a nice thing for that person by holding the door. That remains the case. And it is a nice and a good thing to hold the door. But sometimes the passive aggression gets called out in that way. And this really speaks to understanding other people could be going through all kinds of things that we don't know anything about, and we never will. And we need to accept that other people simply won't meet our standards.
Okay, I know you're right. I know you're entirely logical, but I'm going to push back here. If somebody is watching their phone without headphones on a bus or in a Lewis or in a plane, isn't that just them being ignorant?
Look, it's not behaviour of which I approve, but neither is it behaviour about which I can do anything. But the phone, listening to the phone aloud in a public space is particularly difficult because it is intrinsically annoying. There is a sensory annoyance. Hearing it is annoying. Plus, there is the social judgment that I put on top of that. So it's both a bottom up and a top down negative judgment. And that makes it very, very powerful.
Do we get more irritated about people's habits as we get older? Because I have noticed, like, I would have been pretty easygoing and laid back about things. I have this thing, and when one of my kids, particularly in the winter when, you know, the house is cold, if one of the kids comes in and does not close the door, I mean, it's a joke in our house now, literally. Right. Before they've even come in the door, I'm saying, "Will you close that door?" So is that just becoming a cranky old man, basically?
Well, you are clearly becoming a cranky old man. In your case, yes. Many people do become cranky old men like this, but not everybody. There is also a mellowing that can happen over the years. And I think that phase will likely kick in soon enough, Shane, when you realise that there's absolutely no way you're going to change these people's behaviour. These are what we call micro-violations. They're not major ones. They're micro-violations that happen repeatedly rather than big ones.
Is this like a kind of extended version of, you know, the seven stages of grief? You know, you go to anger and then you finally get to acceptance.
And you will get to acceptance. You will get to accept people with all their faults and their foibles. And maybe even someday you might start to recognize your own. Although that would be a superhuman level of acceptance, which you don't seem close
to. You know what? I think I am good at kind of knowing my own foibles and problems. And it really helps having three adult kids and a wife, because they will point them out quite regularly.
Okay. And when people point out your foibles, do you accept them in a spirit of creativity and
again,
love?
I go through those seven stages and eventually get to acceptance.
Yeah. So, but the good thing there is that it's not about fairness. A lot of the things that really annoy us are perceived unfairness or perceptions of judgment. So, for example, if someone cuts in a queue, they think they're smarter. We think they think we don't matter. We think they think they're better than we are. And we think they think they're getting ahead of us. Mm. The fact is, they don't even know we exist. Other people are not thinking about us. Other people don't care about us most of the time. Most people are thinking about themselves all of the time. So their actions are about them. They are not about you, even if they feel like they are.
Okay, final question. So you have put me to right here, and I can't argue anything you say. You walk out the office and you get on the Lewis to go back to Trinity College, and there's somebody blaring their music. Are you going to practice what you preach, or do you always practice what you preach?
I will sit there quietly. I will realise there are things I cannot change in the world. I will think maybe that person is going through a personal crisis that needs them to use public space in this apparently disrespectful way, and I will practice my mindfulness breathing exercises.
Okay, I think you and I need to meet a lot more, maybe off air, and you can help me get to that stage of Zen. Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.